My name is Justin Cottle, and this is The Dissection Room. My goal with this episode isn't to be overly self-indulgent and just sit here and talk about myself. Trust me, I'm not that egotistical, and I don't expect a lot of people are going to want to hear everything about my background. Granted, I'm not going to go into everything, but I just also feel it's probably appropriate for a podcast host to talk about their background to an extent for those that are interested, and just so it kind of exists, so that it's there and people can listen to it if they choose. But don't feel like you have to. If this type of thing isn't your type of thing, feel free to skip this episode. It's not going to affect your enjoyment of the show. Now, with that said, I have an unconventional path. And that's probably putting it lightly. I'm just going to put it all out there for you so you can digest this as you need to. I don't have a degree. I'm a college dropout. And that wasn't planned. It happened. It actually needed to happen. And then I just continued to find myself in circumstances where it was difficult to justify going back to school, putting myself in debt to do something I was already doing. So to understand how this all unfolded, I think it is best to also understand that I am a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. Like many veterans, I struggled immensely when I separated. When I got out of the Marines in 2010, I was excited at first, as every Marine is, because you get your freedom back. The problem is that I realized civilians are very different from military members and Marines specifically. And I struggled adapting back into civilian society immensely. I found myself in college. I was had the post 9/11 GI Bill, and so they not only pay for your college, they pay you to go to college. It's a pretty sweet deal. But I dropped out because in those first few weeks, I was angered by what I viewed to be laziness and just unprofessionalism from the professors, the TAs, and even the students. I look back at it now and that's silly. They were all fine. They did nothing wrong. I just came from a completely different culture. But what was also happening is I recognized that I was likely suffering from PTSD in some aspect. I've never gotten help for it. I've never been diagnosed. I'm not trying to claim that I had it. But I mean, when you look at the checklist, right? If we were to look at a list and all the symptoms, you could check almost all of them. And even if it wasn't PTSD, I recognized that something wasn't right, that I was getting far too angry about things that really weren't that big of a deal. So for instance, a professor was late a few times by like 3-ish minutes. And that just was a no-go for me. No-go. The students weren't really paying attention. They were being lazy. Again, what does that mean? You know, like, again, I look back at it and it's just silly. I would be perfectly fine right now in that environment. It wouldn't bother me in the least. But then it did. And I recognized that the problem was with me, because when I realized everyone else was okay, everyone else was fine, I'm the only one who's struggling, that was when I realized, This is me. And I can't be in school right now. As much as I want to be, I need to find a way to fix this. I viewed myself as broken. Maybe that's not the best way to look at it, but that's how I viewed it. And I ended up stumbling backwards into massage therapy of all places. Took me by surprise. I had never in my life considered massage therapy to be something worth investigating professionally. I thought massage therapy was about candles on a beach on your honeymoon. And yet, I found myself getting a massage and asking the massage therapist, hey, do you enjoy your job? Where did you go to school? And she loved her job and she told me exactly where she went to school. And I went there the very next day And the logic in my head was pretty straightforward. I had just come from a hyper-aggressive culture in the United States Marine Corps. I needed to loosen up. So I felt maybe I needed some softness. And that's exactly what I aimed to get with massage therapy. The goal was almost like kind of like going to a monastery of sorts. It's almost like I'm becoming a monk. Obviously, that's very far from the truth, but that was what I was thinking. I didn't expect to like massage. I thought it was more going to be more like a sabbatical. And to my immense surprise, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was wonderful. And I enjoyed it so much that I continued to actually go to the school as a TA once I graduated. I graduated on a Friday, and they let me, and they asked me, they caught me in the hallway, and they said, "Hey, do you want to come back and be a TA starting Monday?" So I graduated on a Friday and was right back as a teaching assistant that following Monday. For years, I worked in the massage field, clinical environments, as well as spa environments. And to my surprise, I found myself enjoying the spa environment more than the clinical realm. I'm located in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I was working in Park City, Utah, which is a destination town. And there are several destination resorts. So people would fly in from all over the world to go skiing, and they would then go to the spa. And I'd work in a luxury spa. But you also had the Olympic Training Center and facility. So you had Olympic athletes coming from all over the world, and they would come get massages too. So I'd get to work with bobsledders, the Japanese men's ski team, all sorts of athletes. It was such a unique experience, but I just really enjoyed it. Again, took me by complete surprise. Never did I think this was how my life and career was going to go. But it's also important to note that when I was at school, that's where I met Jonathan Benyon, the co-owner and co-founder of the Institute of Human Anatomy. He was my teacher. When he very first started teaching, I was one of his students. So he had been teaching a couple months at this school, I should say. He was teaching at the University of Utah before that, but he came and started teaching at the Utah College of Massage Therapy, where I was at. And I became one of his students. And when I was a student, we didn't really talk much. He was just my instructor. But when I became a teaching assistant, that's when I got to be his teaching assistant and got to take the class again. And I loved it. I loved anatomy. I've always been a science nerd my entire life. I've been a big, big science nerd. And anatomy just fit it. I've always loved biology the most. Well, I wouldn't say the most. Space, cosmology, astronomy, not astrology. Nothing against astrology, but astronomy, cosmology, astrophysics, astrobiology, anything that has to do with space, I've always enjoyed. But biology is a very close second. And anatomy just fit right into it. But it also fit into it because I was on this pursuit to fix myself, to get out of the PTSD, to get out of the depression and the anger and frustration. And anatomy felt like I was learning how to do that, right? I was learning the blueprint of my body. And so I felt like it helped quite a bit. But here I was enjoying massage, and now I'm enjoying teaching. I was a teaching assistant and then transitioned to becoming a teacher. And I loved anatomy so much that I actually contacted the anatomy professor up at the University of Utah. And I didn't have time to go to school. I did not have time to sit there and be like, hey, right, apply, get into the UVU. I didn't have the time to do that. I was a teaching assistant, yes, but I was also doing massage full time and loving it. But I was like, maybe I could go to classes. So I contacted the professor and asked him, can I audit? And he did not care one bit. It's like, yeah, it's an auditorium full of 400 people. Come sit down. Come hang out. You're not going to get credit, but you can get the education. And so for the next 2 years, took me a little bit of time because, again, I was working full time, already two jobs. And took me about 2 years, but I took every class from that professor and the one who taught the summer semester. And it was wonderful. So here I am. Now, you have to understand, the anatomy education I got at the Utah College of Massage Therapy is very close to being the exact same at the University of Utah. Very similar lecture manual, lecture slides. There's a few differences, but it's essentially the same course. So the Utah College of Massage Therapy gave an outstanding anatomy education, world class almost. But it was missing the cadaver lab. And just because the anatomy professor up at the U of U let me audit the lecture portion, he wasn't going to let me just walk into the cadaver lab. I hadn't paid any lab fees. Well, lucky for me, Jonathan had started the Institute of Human Anatomy by this time. And so when he started the lab, a few months after, it's probably like 6 months or so after, I had gotten to know him by as being his teaching assistant at the Utah College of Massage Therapy. He asked if I wanted to come and help out at the Institute of Human Anatomy. And what happened is he mentored me a bit in those first few years. I mean, I say a bit because he had to go leave to become a physician assistant. You know, it's not like he just abandoned his post. It's more like he had other things to do. But what was cool is I ended up getting a key card. I could go into the lab whenever I wanted. And at this time, I'm single. I don't have any kids. And I'm now going to school at the U of U. But I don't have the cadaver portion. Well, that's fine because I have access to my own cadaver lab. So what I did is I printed off the lab manual that was off. It was placed on the internet for free for all the students as a resource. I printed it off. And what I did is then I went to the Institute of Human Anatomy and started identifying as many structures as I could possibly find. In those days, I would spend hours there. It's crazy to really reflect back on, because I would work 7 days a week, and then the hours that I were at massage and teaching, and then when in the hours that I could, I would be at the lab. There'd be days and nights that I'm there up until 2 a.m., 3 a.m., just studying, textbooks spread everywhere. And I'm just trying to learn as much as I possibly can. And it's funny. I don't know if it's funny is the right word, but I even took the exams at the U of U and with a teaching assistant got them graded and passed with flying colors. I don't remember my exact score, but it was an A. So here I was. I had now taken the anatomy program at the U of U twice, summer semester, and it was a mixture between spring and fall. And then I had listened to Jonathan teach it multiple times. I had taken it as a student, and then when Jonathan left to go become a physician assistant, I started becoming the anatomy instructor, and I started teaching that same material, and I taught it for years. You know, that's where I feel like, for me, my anatomy understanding really came to fruition when I started studying in the lab and teaching it. That's where I think like something really changed. Going to the U of U, everything just kind of, I started to understand it. It wasn't just memorization. And so, you know, I did that for years and years. And what's cool is I also got to teach, you know, in-person events. I became the lab director at the Institute of Human Anatomy. And so I would actually host a wide variety of students. I'd teach like medical assistants, dental assistants, EMTs, paramedics. And so I got to work with the real human cadavers. I got to learn how to dissect. I spent years honing my craft with these body donors and also teaching with the body donors. I mean, it was amazing. The opportunity that I just found myself in from going to massage school. But it was a lot of hard work. Years and years of hard work and studying and just positioning myself to be in the right place at the right time. And I also got to host several medical device labs where you have surgeons that will come in and actually perform surgeries on body donors as opposed to practicing there, right? Because it's like, maybe it's a new technique, it's new equipment. They're not going to practice on living patients, or at least I hope they're not. So it was cool. I got to actually host those and work with surgeons. And it was fun. You know, I got to teach a bunch of surgeons many times. I got to know many different of these surgeons because they would come here routinely. And it would be fun because, you know, for them, they're so specialized, they forgot pretty much all their anatomy they learned back in med school. And so it'd be fun. We'd get the cadavers around and then we'd get to teach them and talk with them, walk them through and just remind them of things that they used to know a long time ago. Really cool. Really, really cool. But I did that until about 2019. And then in 2019, that is when the Utah College of Massage Therapy closed down. They basically ran out of money. Student population dipped down. And so they just shuttered the doors. And I found myself out of a really significant amount of money because that was my main thing. I had switched from doing massage full-time to teaching full-time. And the reason I switched from doing to do that is because I actually broke my back. I broke my back doing massage. Nothing exciting. It's not even a great story. I was in the middle of a massage. I turned and all of a sudden I collapsed to my knees. Turns out I had a pars fracture, bilateral pars fracture. So on my L5, my vertebrae snapped. So I wasn't able to do massage the way that I used to be able to do it, but teaching was still fine, and which was okay with me because I love teaching. So that's what I continued to do. So I taught up until 2019 and they closed their doors. And then all of a sudden I'm like, ah, well, you know, at the Institute of Human Anatomy, we were teaching, but it was very part-time. I was only teaching labs maybe once a month, sometimes once every other month. It wasn't something that could, you know, pay the bills. And I have a young family. So I started looking for side hustles. And as I'm looking for side hustles, I stumble into digital marketing and decide to open my own agency. This was purely just to get money. I needed to, you know, pay the bills and support the family. And what was fascinating is I got to do some really cool stuff. I got to work with many different car dealerships. I got to learn the ins and outs of ad creation and, you know, Facebook ads, everything that went with it. But I really didn't care too much for the marketing aspect, but I was really, really fascinated by the social media aspect. Up to this point, I'd never really been on social media. Like, I mean, I had a Facebook account, but I never posted. I never did anything on that Facebook account. And now here I was learning the ins and outs, the depths of Instagram. And I remember as I was sitting there, I had this idea. I was like, maybe I wonder if we could go online for the Institute of Human Anatomy. Now, we had talked as a group about going online, right, for years. So I started working at the Institute of Human Anatomy in 2013. And somewhere, I think it was around 2015 or so, we had, you know, met, talked about doing digital courses. But I mean, no one really has the time to pull all of this off. Well, all of a sudden now I have time. And I have a lot of time on my hands. So I figure, why not look into this? So I got the blessing from Jonathan and his brother-in-law, Jeremy. Both of them co-own and co-founded the Institute of Human Anatomy. But they gave their blessing to kind of investigate this and see if I could pull it off. And so I ended up researching as much as I possibly could into, at the time, Instagram. But then I realized, looking through it, that Instagram was probably not going to be the best fit because Instagram, for those who may not know, at that time was just photos. They had IGTV, but IGTV was floundering. It wasn't working well. And I had the idea that videos were going to be a better option. So a student of mine had reminded me of TikTok. I'd heard of TikTok before, but I didn't take it all that seriously. And then a former student of mine reminded me of TikTok. She's like, you know, maybe TikTok might be a good place to go. And I got on there, and 2 seconds in, I realized, oh, this is it. This is the place we want to be. And so without going into crazy amounts of detail, I end up contacting ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, asking them. I filmed a whole video around like what I was thinking of doing, sent it to them. They sent it to TikTok. TikTok contacted me. I jumped on the phone with a creative representative at TikTok who was on the creator team. This is 2019. This is early 2019. And TikTok is not the behemoth and juggernaut that it is today by any stretch. And they really didn't even have any educators on the platform. I remember asking him because they got excited. TikTok themselves got excited. Like, this is a really cool idea. You should do this. We would love to have you on the platform. And I asked him, I'm like, is there any other educational channels that I can look at for an example? And he couldn't think of one. He ended up finding a couple. One of them was a reptile channel. And then another was, I can't remember exactly what it was. But he found 2 channels, but they weren't doing what I was thinking. And so it was exciting because I worked with TikTok to kind of develop this idea of how to execute this. And then November 4th, 2019, that was when I posted the very first TikTok. And it went viral overnight. Just overnight. And I remember contacting Jonathan and Jeremy and saying, guys, we've gone viral. and it never stopped. From there, I was in the lab the next day filming more TikToks. We're getting tens of millions of views, 30 million views on TikTok. And now it just spread from there. We decided to move into Instagram, to YouTube, and we created a lot of videos, you know. And as of now, you know, I helped build the social media following for the Institute of Human Anatomy to 20 million followers in total, spread across all the social platforms. And it's been really exciting because I find myself, or have found myself, in this unique position where I know I'm an I personally feel I'm an expert in the human body, but I don't consider myself an anatomist. I don't think I qualify for that term. At the same time, you know, my credentials may not literally be there on paper, but I feel like I've put in the work. And especially when we started going online, the weight, the responsibility you feel when you are teaching people, it's hard to really describe. And it fueled me, the Marine in me, because Marines, we are very bullheaded. We're very strong-willed. We're almost like wind-up dolls. You just wind us up and you steer us in a direction and we just tackle that problem. And so what was cool is, you know, as we're starting to experience social media success, it fueled this desire to just make sure that I'm perfectly accurate. And so for me, it's been a wild ride, an absolutely wild ride, becoming a science communicator at a massive level. And I mean, I guess that's really the best place to leave it, you know. And my goal with this, as I've talked about in the previous episode, is really to just continue on, but talk about more things, to talk about a lot more things that are not just anatomy related. And I'm hopeful that there's, again, going to be at least a few of you who are interested in that same thing. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Hopefully not, it wasn't too self-indulgent, but it gives you an idea of my background, who I am, where I've come from, how I've landed here, where I am. But I will actually say this. I had every intention of going back to college. But again, I just kept finding myself. It's like, I mean, when I'm doing so well in massage, I'm doing so well at the Institute of Human Anatomy, I'm just kind of like, when do I go back? When is the right time to go back? But the other thing is, again, you're putting yourself in a massive amount of debt. It's funny, I still sometimes think about going back. I might still go back at some point. But it wouldn't be for anatomy. It would probably be something beyond that, such as like paleoanthropology, something I'm very interested in. But I'm okay. I'm okay with where I'm at. I'm okay with how things are. But it's unconventional, to say the least. To say the least. Thanks for listening. Hopefully this wasn't, again, just overly self-indulgent. But I appreciate you listening. And I'll see you in the next episode.